Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you today. It's a little chillier out, but not by much. But the next couple days, it's going to be a lot chillier. And we want everybody to stay warm and safe and make sure you check on one another over the next few days. And so we are glad that you're here, and we want to welcome all of those that will be tuning in later in the week. Here's my thought. Even the smallest person can change the world. Even the least among us can be a light that banishes the darkness. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we are waiting for. And so we'll look at that. So let's stand together and join, and we're going to sing our Gloria Patria there this morning. Join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin this morning. People of God, called as followers of Christ,
we gather in the grace and peace of Christ.
God puts a new song in our mouths.
We will sing of God's wondrous deeds.
Wait patiently for God, who hears our cries.
We put our trust in God's steadfast love.
Receive God's amazing help today. Well, we're going to join together there and sing our opening hymn, 621, or if you have the little insert sheet. I put all three verses on there, but I think, if I counted correctly when I was listening to it earlier this morning, she only recorded two verses. So, since Jesus came into my heart. Change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, which I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul, like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and gone astray, since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which are many, all washed away, since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Joy filled my soul, the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer then. Faithful, loving God, strengthen us in this hour. As we worship, let your Spirit move through us and open our hearts and minds to hear your call. With gratitude and trust, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We're going to go to our next hymn, 354. His eye is on the sparrow. Why I feel discouraged. Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your hearts be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. It might have went back to the I sing because I'm happy, but so let me say something about being down here. And I never thought of it. One of the things when we put the ceiling in is we knew it was going to absorb a lot of the sound and keep it down. But I didn't realize how much it affects you, because this morning I had a hard time hearing you in the responsive reading and singing. And upstairs I can always hear you. Yeah, because it just kind of, the acoustics up there is a lot different, but well, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning, and I think we just have one of our older kids this morning, but I'm just going to bypass that one and this morning, and we're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning, and we're going to let you have a chance to do that, so yes.
Everybody saw it on the news about the accident in Dark County where the folks were killed, and Barney and I lost a member of our pulling group.
Oh wow.
He was 18 years old. He was riding in the truck that went left to center. And my second request is also from a family that we pull with. Their grandson, their name is Hudson, found out this week his wife is 5 months pregnant and the baby's organs are outside the body. And they also found out that the baby has Down syndrome. And so please ask prayer. The doctors said the baby probably wouldn't live over a year if it's born.
Yeah, and I've heard of the thing about the development outside the body, and that's just devastating. And so we want to remember that family. Do you have the last name of the family?
Their name is Hudson.
Okay, it is Hudson, okay. So we want to remember that little one and commit that little one into God's hands. We don't know what can happen, and but we want to trust God for that situation there. Somebody else. Yeah.
Unspoken.
Okay. Unspoken this morning.
I
someone else this morning. Yeah.
The prayer group, we have Nancy Macy still on there. But I brought up some of the ones, Greg Baker, we still need to be praying for him. And then we had a Kim Tate and a Tina Hamlin, and both of them are fighting cancer. And Bretta, she's got a real bad cold, but she can't have any antibiotics to help her because of her taking her chemo. And then Pat, she had cancer removed from her nose, and now she has a staph infection. And then let's not forget Esther. But we definitely need to pray for America, what's happening here, and also the world. And a joy was we didn't get snow. So I thought that was the real joy.
What if somebody wanted snow? Hey, you mentioned two people real fast there with cancer, and I got none of their names. Can you mention? I only want their first names.
Kim and Tina.
Kim and Tina?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that this morning. So we want to remember those. And I think I saw another hand. Go ahead.
My sister, the last 6 weeks, has fought blood clots and blockages, and they put in stents and all kinds of things in the last 6 weeks, took her port out, put it back in. So she is, they did all of that so that she could get her chemotherapy again. So she's kind of anxious about the long hiatus. She missed at least two treatments, but she has her next treatment scheduled for this Friday. So prayers for Jill, my sister, that everything goes well. And then also for the BEHM, B-E-H-M family, Parker was a influential person for the city of Troy. Parker BEHM, and helped do a lot of development within the city of Troy during his years, and he passed away a couple weeks ago.
Okay, so we want to remember that family in our prayers, and for Jill this morning. Somebody else. Yeah.
John had his first cataract surgery last week, and it went very well.
Good.
And the other I've done in a couple weeks. So.
Okay, we'll keep... keep him in our prayers. And yep, somebody else? Okay, well, yes, we want to keep Nancy in our prayers. She seemed to be, once she got into the rehab center down there by Miami Valley Hospital, she'd been doing great and doing well. So hopefully we'll hear something. I knew Rhea wasn't going to be here today because she's in Indiana for the swimming tournament with her granddaughters, but want to keep Nancy in our prayers. Hopefully, maybe she'll be coming home this week, and so we appreciate your prayers for her. And then all those that were mentioned, maybe there's somebody or something that you want to talk to the Lord about. You can do that there quietly in your seats as she plays, and then I'll come and close us out. Thank you. Our gracious God, we are thankful today that we can put our trust in you, that we can wait on you, and that you are the one who leads us, guides us, and answers us, and hears us, and works in our lives in so many different ways. Lord, as we think about our world today and everything that's going on, we pray for those that are facing persecution and difficulties and struggles and hardship and injustices, places around the world where food is scarce and medicine is scarce. God, asking for your grace and your presence to be real. We pray for those in places where war and civil war and fighting and violence seems to be the way of life. God, we ask for your grace and your presence for those places today. Lord, we thank you that your presence and your spirit is with us no matter what we're going through and facing. We especially lift up those today that have been mentioned. Lord, we think about the young man in that accident, God, and the loss there. We ask for your grace and your peace and your comfort today. For the Hudson family, Lord. For that little baby, Lord, that's hasn't been born yet, but already has many health problems, God. We ask for your hand to be with them and your comfort and peace. And God, that you would make a way where there just seems to be no way, and that you will be with them, we pray. Lord, we pray for Nancy and Greg today as they are recovering, and for Pat today as she's recovering, and Jill today as she's recovering but going in for treatments later this week, God. Lord, and for John, Lord, for his recovery, God, and then we'll be going in for surgery again soon. We just ask your hand of healing be with them and that you would grace them. We lift up Kim and Tina this morning, God, who are battling cancer, Lord, that you would minister to them. And for Bretta today, God, your hand will be upon her and bring healing to her, Lord. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we continue to pray for the unspoken needs that are mentioned, God. Maybe there's others besides the one today, Lord, that you would minister in those situations and bring your grace and your peace and your hand and your answer, Lord, as we look to you as the one who provides and works in our lives in great ways today. Lord, we pray for our own country, God, with the various things that are happening and going on, God, we ask for grace and peace, faithfulness to the words of Jesus, Lord, in this time, that we will remember that our citizenship is not of this place, but our citizenship is in heaven through Christ Jesus our Lord, and that our trust is in him who we look to every day. And God, that you would help us to be the people, to be the light, to show the way in this world during dark times, God. And Lord, that you would work in the only way that you can, because you are the one that can turn things around and change people's hearts, transform lives, and bring peace and wholeness. So we're thankful and grateful for all of those today. And Lord, thank you for this time that we can gather as your community of faith. Lord, be with us this week during this very cold weather that we're going to be facing. Watch over us, keep us safe, and others, Lord, in our community. And Lord, we continue to lift up our country, our states, our own state here of Ohio, our local communities, God, our school districts, Lord, all of them. Lord, may your presence be real, and you'll give guidance and wisdom that we can live peaceful, grace-filled lives in this world. And Lord, we ask now that you will bless the rest of this time together. As we break the bread of your word in a little bit, Lord, may you feed our souls and remind us of who we wait for. As we thank you for all of these things now, as we ask it in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. So as our ushers squeeze their way up here this morning, we're going to celebrate in giving this morning. And so God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Whether they are small or big, we give back to you, O giver of all good things. May they be blessed to further your kingdom work. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from Psalm 40. It is our lectionary psalm for today. And we're going to be just reading the first four verses today. And so I invite you to listen this morning. Patiently, I waited for the Lord. He bent down to me and listened to my cry. He raised me out of the miry pit, out of the mud and clay. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm footing. On my lips, he put a new song, a song of praise to our God. Many will look with awe and put their trust in the Lord. Fortunate are those who put their trust in the Lord and do not look to the arrogant and go astray after lies. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. One day a mother was out and Dad was in charge. The little 2.5-year-old that he was watching had just recovered from an accident. And somehow he had given me a little tea set to get I kind of made that sound like the kid was in an accident, but it was really the dad that was in an accident. And so the little one brought the little tea set in. And because it was one of his favorite toys. Daddy was in the living room engrossed in the evening news when the little kid brought a little cup of tea, which was just water. After several cups of tea and a lot of praise for this yummy tea, the mom came home. Dad was waiting in the living room to watch me drink a cup of tea because it was just the cutest thing. Mom waited, and sure enough, here come the little child down the hallway with another cup. Mom said, as only moms would do, "Did it ever occur to you that there's only one place that she can reach the water?" I hope you know where that water was coming from, don't you? The toilet. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? When circumstances and situations weigh us down, there's an old saying that sums up how we may feel. My life is in the pits. Have you ever heard that statement before? Now, I don't think we probably hear that quite as much today. That's an older statement. I can remember when I was younger hearing that talked about. And the psalmist certainly felt this way. And he or she expressed it in Psalm 40. Something happened to the psalmist. And figuratively speaking, that put the psalmist in the pits, literally a watery pit. Because the word there that's used, the two words, the expression that's used there is literally a cistern of waves. Now, when we think of our cisterns, we don't think of waves, do we? Yeah. But has anybody ever fell into one? Now, usually we can't because what? They're covered up. Yes. There, my grandmother's sister, and there was a hole about this big, and they put a rock over it, and grandma would go, Jason, and I loved it when she asked me to do this because I thought it was a cool thing. She said, go see how much water's in the cistern. So I'd move that stone away, and we had it was like a bamboo pole that set out there on the ground right around the concrete pad that was there with the hole, and I would stick it down in there and then pull it back out, and I'd either say there's a foot or it's this much or whatever it was during that time. Now, in ancient times, a lot of these places were open. Wells were open. They didn't always have a wall up. Sometimes the wells in ancient times were just a hole in the ground. And so this is probably something like that that's going on. And maybe they meant, the idea was, hey, I fell into the cistern. I feel like I fell into the cistern, and I'm trying to keep my head above water. Two examples that we, or at least I faced, Jody, one time, Jody with me. Back in 2005, when we went to Hawaii, and we got married there, we were on the island of Kauai, which was the least commercialized. In fact, if you ever saw the movie Blue Hawaii with Elvis Presley, when they come down that little boat and he gets married to her there, we drove right by that place where that was. And they were telling us about it. And we stopped and looked at it and everything. But we had about 4 hours that day, finally, where we could just relax. So we went to the beach. The most coarse-sanded beach that we had been on anywhere. But we got out there, Jody and I did, and the waves were choppy. And I remember looking over to Jody and I said, this is a lot of work. The waves were just chopping. And we were just trying to, like, keep our heads above water. And I bet it wasn't, 5 minutes or so? And I was already like, I'm tired of being out here, you know. And so we eventually came back in. I think a little bit of the picture that's going on is something like that. Here's another example. We went to Charleston in, was that 04 or 24, I think it was, in South Carolina, right on the beachfront. Loved it. Beautiful. But Chase and I kept sneaking out further and further. Now, we knew where the barriers were, where we were not supposed to go further. But as we started to come back in, because, you know, at one point, you can stand, and it's like right here. And at the next point, it's like way up here or even higher. And there was a huge wave that came in, and I thought, I'll be okay. So I got ready, and I was timing myself. I was going to jump so I could keep my head above the wave. And guess what? Boom! I got hit on the back because I always turn, you know, facing towards the beach, turn so that it hits me in the back. The waves do. And man, it knocked me for a loop in that second. That's what I think the psalmist is trying to describe here. Is he got hit for a loop. Have you ever felt like life hit you for a loop? Knocked you down, and it was hard to get back up at times. But the psalmist doesn't stop there, because the psalmist goes on and talks about a muddy, filthy pit. Almost like, if we're looking at the cistern again, maybe at the bottom of the cistern was mud. You ever walked into a pond? Thank God for some of my friends. When their parents built the pond, there was sand that went way out, you know. But I've walked into them where you're just gooshing in mud the whole time you're in the pond. And sometimes if you're not careful, if you start to sink a little bit, it's like you're getting stuck. I fell over once. I think I told you that story while I was in the cattle pen. And we had gotten a bunch of rain, and we hadn't cleaned it out in a long time. And I had my rubber boots on, and I went to take a step, and my And down I went into it because I got stuck there for a minute. That's what the psalmist is trying to convey there. The psalmist then realized that only one could rescue, and that was the Lord, Yahweh. However, the psalmist learned another lesson, and that is many times we have to wait confidently on the Lord. Now, the way the psalmist says this, he duplicates words. So you could say, I waited and I waited and I waited and I waited on the Lord. Do you ever feel like sometimes you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting? Phillips Brooks, a pastor in Boston in the late 1800s, when asked one day the reason for his agitation, he said, "The trouble is, I'm in a hurry, but God isn't." Can any of you identify with that feeling? I know I can. Yet right there in the smack beginning of Psalm 40, I waited patiently. What are we waiting for? Number one, we're waiting on God. There's your first word. This is a spiritual practice that has to be developed. We all know it's none of us like to wait. And the spiritual practice involves active trust, there's your second word, in God on our part. It takes trust in those kind of situations. And the language here of waiting and the trust part is means we wait with expectancy. And that is supposed to bring an active trust and hope while we're waiting on God. Now, it's not just about grinning and bearing while the traffic jam clears up. One time I was coming home for Dayton, and there was an accident up by Tip City. I put the car in park. I waited a long time to make sure the traffic wouldn't start moving again. I finally put the car in park. Guess what? I fell asleep. 20 minutes later, I woke up. We were still in the traffic. I was in that traffic jam for 2 hours on 75 going north. It's not just about keeping a stiff upper lip until the news is better, but it is hanging in there with confidence. I don't know, maybe I fell asleep because I knew we were eventually going to get out of there. Or maybe I just wasn't in a hurry that day. I don't know. So this spiritual practice involves an active trust in God on our part. And then this spiritual practice involves daily living. There's your next word. As if God hears and acts. I don't know if you caught that, but the psalmist is very clear that when the stresses and challenges of life weigh heavy on our mind, we live every day, catch this, as if what we're waiting for is about to happen. When I was a teenager, the church I was in Sydney, the pastor and his family, Pastor Bill and his wife and their two daughters, sang together. And they used to sing this song that goes like this. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. And now I can't remember the rest of the words, but anyways. And it was about God is going to do something. And I think that's the idea here of what's going on and what the psalmist is trying to say there. I found this. I don't even know how I ran into this week, but I ran into this little thing called the Pygmalion effect. Has anybody ever heard of the Pygmalion effect? First of all, I had to look it up and see how you pronounce it because it's Pygmalion. The Pygmalion effect is a psychological phenomenon that says when you give people high expectations, it leads to better performance in their lives. And I don't even know why I looked at it, but I started thinking about that. Maybe that's why in so many places, and even Jesus said that, you got to have faith, just like the faith of a grain of mustard seed, to believe that God is going to do something and to trust God in the middle of that. And I think that's why when we live with expectancy, that it changes our lives. So waiting on the Lord lives with expectancy in the midst of our challenges and rests in that gentle trust, knowing that God cares for us. We're waiting on God. So going along with that expectancy then, we're waiting on amazing answers. Amazing answers. Three things here that the psalmist talks about as we read through there. First of all, God listens, or if you want to say hears, that's fine. God hears when we call. God literally bends down towards us and hears our cry. It's not that God is hard of hearing, but it's an image that the psalmist wants the other people to catch hold of. You know, what'd you say? Now, could be two things going on there. For human beings, you might think I'm hard of hearing, which some of you know. Sometimes I have that issue, don't I? Yes. But on the other hand, it may be I'm coming over because I really want to listen to what you have to say right now. And I think that's maybe the image that the psalmist is trying to paint. Because the psalmist says, God bent down and listened to my cry. And that's good news this morning. Whether enjoying good times or languishing in tough times, we should remember that God is listening when we pray or when we lament. And that sometimes means we're just going to vent it all out to God. Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe hears us? That's an incentive to wait patiently and know that God, looking and waiting for amazing answers. Second thing, God guides. God guides. Notice the psalmist talks about how God delivered the psalmist out of that pit, out of that miry mud, yuck, whatever you want to call it, those crazy waves. But that didn't stop. It says that God got me out of that and then put me on a rock so that I could be steady in my walk. That's a whole different thing. Sometimes we're, God, heal me. God, rescue me. God, this, God, that. And then we kind of leave it hanging. And sometimes I think God wants to do even so much more. God set the psalmist on a safe path that steadied the psalmist's course. I don't know about you, but I could use a safe path and some steadiness in my life. Active trust of God, along with living hopefully, helps give clarity and direction in our lives and helps us walk more confidently, knowing God guides and secures our steps. And then that third thing there is God renews. Notice what the psalmist says there. God put a new song in my mouth. A new song, or God puts a new song in our mouths. Not only is life an amazing gift, but also is living with a new song. A new song is our response to God and Christ's action in our lives. In the book of Revelation, I can't remember the chapter offhand. I'm thinking 7, 9, 11, somewhere in there. It talks about how those in heaven that are standing before the throne and the Lamb are singing a new song. What's that new song? It's that they've been redeemed, that they've been brought out and came through onto the other side. It's usually a fresh and spontaneous song. You know how that is when something happens and you're like, oh, thank God. Or I'm just excited, and you come in that Sunday, and when we begin to sing, you just sing out. Versus times when you're in the muck, and you're still in the muck, and you come in, and it's hard to sing. It's hard to be cheerful or joyful. We face those times too in life. And we may not know when or how God might act, yet we place our trust in the one who knows us best. When the Chinese plant bamboo seeds, they water and fertilize them, but in the first year, nothing happens. The second year, they water and fertilize them, and nothing happens. In the third and fourth year, they water and fertilize them, and nothing happens. Then, the fifth year, they water and fertilize them, and in a period of 6 weeks, the bamboo grows roughly 90 feet. Just like that. And you've heard me say this before. Sometimes we wait and we wait. And then when God acts, it happens suddenly, quickly. And it's amazing. And I think when we choose to confidently wait on God, it's not a quick fix in times of trials. But it's a way of life where we learn to trust and live expectantly and know that we have God's ear, we have God's guidance, and we have God's renewal. Well, what are we waiting for? God and some amazing answers. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a couple minutes there, and you can shake some hands and greet one another, and then we'll go ahead and close out there with our chorus, Majesty, this morning.
This one.
All right. Let's go ahead, and if you are able to stand with us, if you got your little sheet or the hymn book, if you grabbed a hymn book today, it's number one. We're going to be singing Majesty, and if I remember correctly, I think as soon as she hits the button, we're singing. So I don't think she gave an intro to this one. Maybe. We'll see here once. Oh, no, there's an intro. Good. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own. His anthems raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. We're singing it again. Majesty, worship His majesty. Unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. Majesty, kingdom authority flows from His throne unto His own. His anthems raise. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Magnify, come glorify Christ Jesus the King. Oh, majesty, worship His majesty. Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. All right, well, let's join together there for our benediction this morning. God sends us forth this week as lights.
We shine as lights of God's steadfast love.
May God shower us with blessings, favor, grace, and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.